I'm Mike Hebert, owner of Cantex Roofing and Construction. Every day is game day, and we'll get it right when it comes to your roofing, construction, windows, and mirrors. Call Cantex Roofing and Construction today. Together, we are one serving you.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Hey, what's happening? Happy hump day. Good afternoon.
I could have did it.
You could have did it.
I was trying to get him to point to me. He wouldn't point to me. I would have said it.
Oh, I'm
I couldn't
sorry.
Get my stuff
I
mean,
I
figured
I apologize.
Out.
I did host a show for 3 years. I mean,
both in on the joke of, you know, seeing if Choice would do half the show before he actually, you know, introduced the show.
This is the show that we call The Bottom Line.
Yeah.
Welcome in. And good afternoon, right here on 100.7 The Score, 107thescore.com, and the 107
rousing start
score mobile app.
We'll do it live. I'll write it. We'll do it live.
You can take that mobile app just about anywhere with you, up in, even listening up in Blue Ball, Pennsylvania, alongside Chris Snead. I'm Choice Woodman.
That place is such a tease.
Clint Scott. That voice here back behind the glass. Hey, yo, Sneeder.
What's up? What it do, what it is, and what it will be, y'all.
Coming in hot today. How are we doing?
Oh, man, I'm in a good mood.
That's good.
I mean, which is good for me, because, I mean, there's a lot of days I come in here, I'm in a bad mood, and you know that. I'm sour Sneed.
Uh-huh.
And I'm in a good mood.
So what can we do to...
No, don't.
Just kidding.
Don't bring me down,
it's
man.
It's time for a pump quiz.
Okay. Let's go. Come on, let's do it.
I don't have one.
Oh, I'm ready for it. Let's
he was
do
just
it.
Doing
I
that.
I was ready. Hey, you got a pop quiz over there? Let's do it. Come on, make one up. Let's go. Give us mascots. Let's go. Let's go. NIT mascots. Maybe CBI mascots.
You know all the mascots.
Actually,
so.
I probably would not know all the CBI mascots. I would be surprised how many I miss for a mascot guy. Give me one. Let's go.
Okay, maybe. I got to, like, prep one first, you know. Can't just... I had no plans of doing a pop quiz, but Clint can give us one if he's got one. We'll get into a lot of different things over the next 3 hours. Tech baseball did win yesterday, so that's good. Maybe not exact path you'd want to win, but it...
Well...
It's a win.
I just talked to Hacks between shows here. I told him I learned one thing... Yesterday, the bottom third of our bullpen is not good. Is really not good.
Okay.
And you just got through playing the fifth game in, 6 days? So you're literally at the bottom of your bullpen. As I talked to someone on Monday night, it's how are we going to cover 9 innings tomorrow? And you saw the result of that. The first part of that is, hey, get after it, Zach Erdman. Thanks for giving us 5 innings. I appreciate that. And then we tried to cover the last four. We ran a kid out there who was making his debut, some kid that I didn't even know was on the roster. And if the kid was sitting in here with you and me right now, I probably wouldn't recognize him. We brought Brennan Lysick out there. Cole Cassi. And the Chandler Coe kid, and there's a reason why we hadn't seen some of these guys.
And yes, I think that's fair.
Are they bad? No. Are they freshmen? Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I also said, I said this to Brooks Gustafson and George Watson as we sat down there watching. I said the team that wins Monday night is probably going to blow the other one out on Tuesday. And we were on our way to that. And I think we tried to get some guys some work. And next thing you knew, you had yourself a game. And Stanford's getting one of their weekend arms up and into the game. And that guy comes along. And that was his name? Duggar? Dugan? Dugan? Jimmy Dugan?
Dugan.
Yeah. And... Now all of a sudden you get yourself a ball game, and several times in the, you know, we go from, hey, this will be, I was I went and watched a couple innings yesterday, and I was going to head back to my office, and I thought, wait, we're about to get the run rule here, you know, and I'll go ahead and watch the run rule. And they score two runs to get, you know, to keep themselves in the game. And then I thought, well, if I'm going to stick around here, you know, Washburn only needs a home run for the cycle. He's going to come up third.
Yeah.
So I'll stick around and watch that. Well, he didn't get the – he didn't get that. And so I got up and left. And they're like, where are you going? I said, I've got work to do back in my office. And then I did the Gary Ashby. I know how it's going to end. And if it doesn't end this way, I don't want to be here to see it. So back to my office I went. And before I got to my car, it was 12 to 7 – before I got to my office, it was 15 to 11 or whatever it was. I was like, good Lord.
Yeah, it was not the path you wanted to take to a win. But two out of two against a Stanford team that's not that good and would have hurt your RPI quite a bit.
Yeah.
A team that was in the 170s in the RPI. So
And let's not make any mistake. I don't think Stanford expected to be where they are.
Well, of course not.
I mean, this is a team that was a regional host last year.
College World Series team,
yeah, super regional host. When we got these guys on the schedule, we thought this was going to be an RPI team. This was going to be good midweek action for us. And it just didn't work out that way.
Hey, winning two in a row, know what it gets you? Moved up 19 spots in the RPI.
Good.
Over the last 2 days.
Who knew, by 58. The way, who knew that the big RPI boost we would have on our schedule would be from UCF? Who knew that?
Well, he didn't move up much.
Well, you moved up just by playing the guys.
Yeah, and you'll move up if they continue to stay high in the RPI.
I want to be big Knight fans.
Helps when UCF goes and beats Florida a couple of times, so that's helpful. So that's where you sit with baseball, basketball. Lots of names going into the portal, and I think to me there's only one mega surprise. Well, mega's even strong. But there's only one surprise to me so far, and that was Devin Cambridge.
Devin Cambridge, and that screams to me he was contacted by another school and said, hey, if you get in the portal, there's some NIL reward for you on the other end.
So Mason Molina situation here?
Yeah, that screams that because – and everyone's banging the kid because he said he was coming back. I'm sure he did. And then somebody called him, which every one of us would do the same thing. I just don't lose any sleep over it anymore. This is the new nature of college basketball. And the free transfer, the NIL, college basketball is going to be the most fluctuating sport of all of them because you can fix your team so quickly with just a few pieces. And Devin Cambridge is going to be a huge piece for somebody. Now, just because he got in the portal doesn't mean somebody over there at the old Matador Club Collective can't just say, hey, let's go ahead and kick him up a couple notches.
Let's make sure he's still here next year. Yeah. That is possible. I don't know that I'd count on it, but
I don't count on it either. But if you think that you're going to go get a bunch of high school kids and grow old with them in college basketball these days, it's not the case. Yeah, you can in D2. If you want to go be a fan of Angelo State, that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
But until then, and it really they're not, because if they have a successful guy at their place, guess what? You know, here comes, you know, Billy Blueblood's going to come along and pluck that kid out of there and say, you're playing D2? Here's $10,000 NIL money. Come play for us.
Y'all can chime in with your thoughts, whatever you got, bring it in on the Yates Flooring Center chat line. We'll get some of that after headlines, what you need to know on the way with lots of headlines. It's coming up on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth, this is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Thrill to be part of your hump day. You're listening to
1239 here the on the
Bottom Line. 100.7 The Score. 100.7 The Score. We don't have to fight.
That's it. I'm a lover.
Make love, not love.
Yes, I'm a lover.
That's good. He's Snead. I'm Choice. We're with you for. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see if we hang till 3 o'clock or not. Snead probably won't, but they might.
I listen to y'all every day. I get in the car, go back to my office, and listen to you guys the rest of the day.
So, transfer portal is ablaze lately. You got a lot of Red Raiders in. We'll get to those in a moment. Just want to update everybody on some names you may know in the portal, though. There's quite a few names that are ones you probably know or from schools in the Big 12. So here's one that went in last night. How about an Elijah Fisher? Was on your campus last year. So he can bounce a second time unless that.
I don't think anyone actually knows how this. If you get him, doesn't he have to sit out a year?
You're supposed to.
Is he a graduate?
Right now. Well, he was a freshman last year, doubtful that he's a graduate.
But doesn't he have a pass because their coach got fired?
Yeah, or does he have the grandma sick exception?
Yeah, I think you're right. I think there
is a pass.
But the
coach fired. Yeah, like,
coach
matter.
Fired gives you a fresh pass. I think that's the case.
Or,
and then
is it coach fired or coach leaves?
Either.
Okay.
I think the other one is right now I think everybody can transfer freely because there's litigation. No, I'm saying like even if you've transferred once, there's something that there's a judge that has that paused right now. But it's paused. It doesn't mean it's not going to go back to the way it was. It's just some judge somewhere ruled something. So anyway, Elijah Fisher's in the transfer portal from DePaul. The John L. Davis was the guy I was thinking of, and Vlad Golden, both of those guys from FAU, both played in the Final Four last year. Some guy named Chris Johnson from Texas is in the portal. Kerr Crissa from West Virginia. I mean, again, these are guys that didn't play much.
Well, no, that was their starting point guard. He's the guy who transferred from Arizona, came in, and then he missed like the first 8 or 10 games for whatever reason. I think suspension related. But he was one they had to talk into keeping after the Bob Huggins thing because Huggins brought him in.
That's right. Okay.
And they had to keep him in for the roster. So that's interesting that he's leaving.
So Chris in there. Well, new coach, same situation there. OU's Javian McCollum is in the portal now.
OU's?
That's a big one.
Yeah. McCollum, he I think, had one big game against Tech. I want to say it was last year. But Cincinnati's Victor Lakin. Don't really know who that is. Anyway, so these are the ones from the last couple of days out of the Big 12 Conference. UCF's Kome Umebor. I don't know. So
say it with confidence.
Umebor!
Exactly.
Yeah, it does sound better. So, but those are names you know in the league, that sort of thing. Of course, Texas Tech has had a whole slew after these exit interviews. You've seen a lot of guys go into the portal, including the latest one in the last half hour or so, and that's Lamar Washington.
Yeah, and as these happen, there are some that you knew were going to happen. You know, DeMorian Williams going into the everyone in the world knew that was going to happen. Robert Jennings, we had a pretty good idea that was going to happen because they're going to recruit on top of him. I mean, at the very least, you want him to be a third option off the bench at big. Yeah. You didn't want him to be the guy. I mean, we love what he did this year. And just the days of growing old with guys is over.
It's gone.
Yep. It's gone. And the days of falling in love with players is gone. The players aren't showing loyalty to you. There's no need to show any loyalty to them.
Legitimately, when is Texas Tech's – who was the last four-year player for Texas Tech in basketball? Was it Noren Soriase?
It might have been.
I'm trying to think back to
a guy.
There's probably someone.
Culber was here all of his college career, but it's only 3 years. But
Your last four-year guy, the growing old that you're talking about. It may have been Norrence. I can't think.
Yeah, we'll have to research that and
of who else it would be if it's not Norrence.
But this whole idea of this is the new norm for college basketball, the absolute new norm.
Yeah.
You're going to get a guy. He's going to play with you, and he may stay with you. D. Will, is he going to stick around? I think so. They've probably told him.
I think so.
We're probably building around you next year, kiddo.
But you also got to think he's going to have suitors elsewhere, too.
Yep. But we've probably made, you know, made sure we made a choice, and we chose you.
Yeah, I mean,
you're gonna be the face and the we're gonna build around you next year, and I mean, we're not talking about for the next 5 years or 3 years, it's the next year, because after this next year, we may want to do something different.
Oh, how it works. But yeah, like we said earlier, I do think that the one that surprised me is Devin Cambridge, yeah, and that's the only one that's really kind of. I won't even say turn the stomach, but the one I'm disappointed in.
It's
the one I wanted to have.
I kind of wanted him to be back. I thought, hey, I'd love to see that guy in our uniform again.
We went through rankings a week ago, and of the top three guys you don't want to lose, and he was number two on my list.
Mm-hmm.
It's Darian Williams, mm-hmm. Devin Cambridge, and I think I said Chance McMillan.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know that you – I don't know what went on there, if it's not money-related.
But I'm – the timing of his screams, hey, someone called him up. Some Power 5 called him up and said, hey, jump in the portal, dude.
Probably.
We've got this for you. And I don't know when these guys can announce where they're going to.
Where they're going to?
No, when or where.
Oh, yeah, they can do it now.
So – I would probably suspect, if that was the case, probably see him in a week or so saying, hey, I'm going to be playing at the University of blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah state. Can't wait to be a blank.
I think they're in the conference with C.S. Lesserton, blah, blah, blah state.
The blah, 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 blah state.
Yeah, a lot of really good battles for the bottom end of that conference.
Exactly.
Sounds like fun.
The Fighting Blanketies.
Goodness. I'm taking a deep dive through the rosters right now.
Mm-hmm.
The answer is Noren Sodiase.
Okay.
That was your last guy that has been here 4 years. And
that's,
mind you, Chris Beard was out in front of this whole transfer game before
he really was.
Yeah, I mean, before there was a portal, an actual portal, he tried to go get a bunch of transfers, and that's what he did, and you had success with it for the most part. But, man, it would be nice to have one guy that you got, one or two guys that you could grow old with.
You're not going to do that anymore.
No, it doesn't feel like that's...
It's going to be like a minor league roster for minor league baseball. You know, you're going to see a guy who's going to be here for a year and maybe two if you're lucky. And by the time you kind of figured out, you love him, you know, he's... You know, even the Tariq Owens guys that come in here and they're here for a year... Yeah, they're Red Raiders for life because they finished their career here and they went to a Final Four.
I would love to take a 4-year stretch from the 90s in mm-hmm. Texas Tech basketball. Count the total number of players you had versus a 4-year stretch right now.
Yeah.
And see what the total number of different players you had during those 4-year stretches is. And my guess is you double or triple.
I think
rosters.
You could do that more recently. I mean, go just through the Bobby Knight era.
Sure.
Who's our towel waver at the end of the bench for us right now?
Our towel waver?
Our walk-on guy. Who our towel waver?
Francis, I want to say. Jack Francis?
Jack Francis?
Yeah.
Was he a freshman?
He was a sophomore.
Okay, so.
At Austin.
Okay. Where'd he come from?
Anderson High School. Oh, I think he's been here 2 years.
Okay.
I want to say that. I don't know that for sure.
That's your next 4-year guy.
You haven't even had the walk-ons be able to stay.
I think that because
you've gone over coaching turnover too.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Nice. As long as McCaslin's here, I bet you a towel waiver. I'm sorry, I don't know your name, Jack Francis. And I mean, you've been towel waiver guy, and I love you.
The one I'm curious about is Yolajo. Can that be your one? And you finally have one.
I think Yolajo is probably a guy that they're going to put a lot of resources into.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay. I would guess he's going to stay.
I guess too, but you never know. Maybe they haven't gotten his exit interview yet.
I have no idea.
And maybe someone's going to call him up.
All right, lots more from you on the chat line. We'll get to some of those thoughts after the next round of the Owl Off. Kaylee's Daily's coming your way next on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
.45 here on the Bottom Line. Chris Snead, Choice Woodman, and the Viking bring you back in, taking you straight into the Owl Off and Boys in the Washington Wonder. You have it now here. Put the kids to bed. Let the dog out. Put the cat in.
Oh.
It's time for the Owl Off.
Let's go.
Owl Off and Kaylee's Daily is brought to you each day at this time, of course, by me. Boom. Suck it, Chuck. All right, on this day, Kaylee says, the winner of the matchup between the 3-seeded Barn Owl and the 6-seeded Burrowing Owl is Barn Owl.
Yeah, it should be.
Yes, due to their ghost-like appearance and their strength in numbers due to Texas's large rodent population, the Barn Owl sent the Burrowing Owl .. Kaylee has jokes. Today we'll conclude the second round with the final two owl species profiles, the 1-seeded great horned owl and the 2-seeded barred owl. We have a 1-2 right here.
Let's go.
Let's go barred owl. That was my pick.
Okay.
Here do we have a 1-2 already?
I don't know. It's not my bracket. It's hers. The great horned owl is one of the largest owl species, typically growing between 18 to 26 inches in length. Great or horned owls can be found in any region of Texas year-round. This large owl allows for these owls to take on larger prey. They've been known to exert up to, in pounds of force,
150.
28 pounds of force when they hunt their prey, allowing them to hunt down other birds of prey. Barred owls are typically 19 to 22 inches in length and can be found permanently in the range of northeast Texas from Wichita Falls to Tyler. Barred owls are the masters of camouflage.
Barred.
And they hunt from the top down from high-ranging forests. Barred owls have been known to hunt squirrels and raccoons. Get the trash pandas. These owls are very territorial.
It's my kid's team.
And have a distinctive call that wards off their threats. I wonder what it sounds like.
Definitely not that. Okay. That's a screech owl.
Okay, that's okay. The great horned owl will face off with the western owl. Screech owl, grabbing birds mid-flight, and the barred owl will face off with the eastern screech owl. Sybil side.
That's terrible.
Yeah.
Sybil side.
Oh, wait a second.
Oh, wait. There's more.
We just got a winner. We just got a winner. Oh, no.
No.
Oh, we just hit the final four. She just gave us the final four.
Okay.
So the great horned owl is facing off with the western screech owl, who she's reminding us grabs birds mid-flight, which is terrifying.
There okay, so we don't have a 2-1 matchup.
No, we don't have a 2-1 okay. matchup. Okay. Yeah. And so the barred owl is going to face off against the eastern screech owl. So we've got east versus west, great horn versus barred. So there we go. We'll have these two matchups, and we'll have our great final. Yes.
Let's go barred owl.
Woo! So
let's get it done. Woo! Are you cheering for my pick as well?
Who? I had to.
You went with the one seed.
I'm great horned owl.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Are you ready? I just want to know, are you ready for the champion on Friday?
I think so. If it's going to be the 2-seed, yeah.
No. I'm asking you, are you ready for the champion on Friday?
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you even know what I'm talking about?
No.
I'm talking, are we going to have one shining moment?
One shining
moment. Oh, yeah. Sure.
I mean, come on.
I'm sorry.
We're in the final four here, man.
Oh, we'll get
are we ready
I
for
want
it.
Some Luther Vandross. One shining moment. No?
You're going to keep going?
No.
Okay.
I actually don't know the next line.
I don't either.
Barred Owl, you just won the Owl Off of 2024. What are you going to do next?
I'm going to grab a bird out of the air.
Back to the AIDS Flooring Center chat line. Choice, don't attack the mic. Fire and Vike. The NIL has caused free agency without agents unless handlers get involved.
Yep.
Yeah, you need contracts at this point.
Wait a second. Everybody, people say, we need to have a salary cap. We need to have contracts. You already had those. They were called scholarships.
Okay.
And then you still had bagmen.
You've got to put parameters in place.
There are no parameters in place. If you put a salary cap on there, do you think that Alabama or Kentucky or Tennessee or Georgia or North Carolina or Duke is going to stop? We can only give so much, guys. You think they're going to stop?
No.
They're going to keep giving people money.
No, but then you can at least have some rules back in place to...
No, there's no point. You already had that.
There is a point.
There's you already had it.
No.
You already had it.
You can sign someone to where they have to stay at your school 2 years.
Okay.
That's a contract.
That's the only thing you can do.
No, that's what I'm saying. Contracts. The cap thing, I'm somewhat with you, but the contract thing, you can absolutely do that. And then you get into trade territory.
That's a different scenario that I'm not actually talking about right now.
Yeah. No, I'm saying
I'm actually
contracts.
Just talking about the whole idea of what you can pay these guys.
No, I mean, you can put that in the contract. I'm talking about for the school's protection is what the contracts are more for than anything. And that could be part of your selling point out of, you only have to come here, sign a 1-year deal at a high school. That could be part of your selling point. I don't know. These things are – it is free agency, so you might as well make it into full-on free agency.
Yeah.
Funny you are on Snead. I'm enjoying some pickles and a little of that juice.
I love pickle juice, man.
Pickle juice is great.
Pickle juice is great.
Would Bronny James be a good fit for Texas Tech basketball team? No. I heard he's entering the transfer portal. I've seen that he hasn't.
I've heard he's in it too. I just don't see him. He's going to end up somewhere like a Kentucky.
You think it's going to be a very high profile situation? Yeah, you think LeBron James would stoop low enough to come to little old Lubbock, Texas? No way.
No
way he would, and he wouldn't let his kid come here because he's stuck up and snooty. I think that
LeBron.
I think Bronny's going to go to the draft, get picked by someone in the first round way too high, and then LeBron will go join forces.
I think that's exactly right. And because LeBron thought his kid was going to be playing 1 year in college and then get drafted as a lottery pick, and he would go to that.
Yeah, LeBron's, for lack of a better term, LeBron's biological clock is ticking. So.
Wow. I don't know about that.
Oh, it is.
LeBron is going to play that year with Bronny.
Yes, he will. But I'm saying LeBron doesn't want that to be 4 years from now. He wants it to be now.
Yeah. And this is where he might manufacture something to say to someone, you draft my kid, I'll come to you. So someone like... Yeah. You know, who's your bad team out there?
Who's your baddie?
Yeah, just whatever bad team, you take my kid and I can play with you and we may not be very good, but we'll be relevant for a year.
Yeah. McCullough was here 4 years since he graduated high school early. He only played 3 of those years. You're correct. McCullough was here 4 years.
And that is true.
Actually, you want to get really technical, 3.5 years. So... Because he came in at semester.
If we're going to be picky, then the wording is, hey, what athlete started and finished his career here and used all of his eligibility?
Yeah, if you want to get really picky, that's Norrence. And then there were several guys right before him,
and
too,
I'm thinking the next one is going to be Jack Francis.
I think he's going to the portal now.
I don't think. I am stating right now, Jack Francis for 4 years. Four more
Put
years.
Put it on a banner. Speaking of that sort of thing, did you see the new guy running for president?
Oh, no.
Like, legitimately?
Who?
Literally anybody else.
Just name anybody else?
No, this person has... some guy here in Texas...
Oh, God.
...from Dallas has put his name on the ballot. First name, literally. Middle name, anybody. Last name, else. He's changed his name to be voted for as literally anybody else. So, if you want to...
If I didn't feel like I was just wasting my vote, I actually might consider doing that.
I know, that's the worst. I mean, we could have a whole different show on a different station about how messed up the political system is.
Well, and it's how exclusionary it is to an independent.
Yeah, no, I know. I mean, I'm with you. Because you absolutely are wasting your vote. And the fact that millions would think you're wasting your vote also, you know, feeds into that. But
yeah.
All right. So great way to finish.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about that.
Bronny James isn't coming to Lubbock.
Bronny James is not coming to Lubbock.
So
sorry about the all the guys that got in the transfer portal. Texas Tech, 21-9, RPI at 58.
Woo.
Moving and grooving. We're going to get three more wins this week.
That's right. You feeling it?
Feeling it.
All right.
It's going to be 24-9. All of a sudden, you're back in the top 25. Loving it. Living it.
It's the bottom line on 100.7 The Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Onward to hour number two. You're listening to Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. 100.7 The Score mobile app brought to you by our friends at Happy State Bank. You can even tune us in Yum Yum, Tennessee.
I think you've used that one before.
I think it's been years, but yeah, I have.
Or maybe it's just thinking of the Yum Yum Center.
That's in
Louisville,
Kentucky,
right?
Yeah, Louisville. That was, did they still call it that? The KFC Yum Yum Center?
I have no clue. I
have no idea either. They did at one point. Don't know if it's still called that. Y'all join us with your thoughts, your comments, your questions, whatever you need on the Yates Flooring Center chat line.
Might be offensive to somebody, so they probably changed it.
Yum Yum, probably. Mm-hmm. Probably. It's like making fun of fat people.
As of right now, Jamie would never do that. Louisville still plays at the KFC Yum Center.
Yum? That's no, just one Yum.
KFC Yum exclamation point center.
Okay. Not the Yum Yum Center, just Yum. So there you go.
I mean, do you think they're...
So they offended one of the Yums, not the other one.
Okay. Do you think, like, their local play-by-play men, like, welcome back to the Yum exclamation point center. The KFC Yum Center.
Oh, man. For numerous reasons, I couldn't be play-by-play for that. But for one, every good play had all 11 herbs and spices on that jumper.
Oh, gosh.
That was extra crispy.
Numerous reasons, as you said. All right. I think I got all my transfer portal talk out before you joined us in the First United Bank studio. So
so we've added Lamar to the mix.
Lamar has added to the mix. If you missed
since
it
this morning,
Damarian Williams, Devin Cambridge. Do we have another Al joke? I'm lost.
Who's this Damarian Williams you speak of?
Oh, that one. Okay.
We used to have a guy that played for us a couple years ago named Damarian Williams.
And he got some minutes.
2 years ago,
he scored 2 points this past year.
Yeah.
So he did get on the floor. It's not, you know.
I'm disappointed in the Devin Cambridge information or knowledge, whatever, announcement.
That's definitely the one that.
I think I disagreed with. First time ever with Sneed's take.
No.
That this is, he seemed pretty certain that this was about NIL money.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that's not true. I'm just saying there's nothing that, to me, that points to that. What does it?
I think he's saying that because. We heard more than once that Devin Cambridge was going to be back. He confirmed it and said he was going to come back. Now, I don't know the last time we heard that. So, okay. I don't know. Suitors could have come knocking, but at the same time, these exit interviews that we're hearing about this week are all timed up as well. And that's
where I wonder, okay? And I'll also say this. I think we all think pretty highly of Devin Cambridge and what he was bringing to the table before he got hurt. Right, and we're happy to have him back, but I don't know that there's a bunch of teams. Where was he playing before?
Arizona State.
Yeah. I just don't know that there's a bunch of teams across the country that like, let's break the bank for Devin Cambridge for this injured guy, that missed most of the season, who's going to give us what? 8-6, 8-7.
Yeah.
I mean, I love his game. Don't get me wrong. I really want him back.
He gave us.
He's a glue guy. He's, you know, he's toughness. Okay. All right. So 10.5.
That's where he was here before.
I just don't know that some big time program that's got big time money is like that. Let's break the bank. Let's throw all this money at that guy. I think we sometimes value our own players more than the outsiders do. And so I think we all think highly of him, but I don't know that there's people across the country saying that's the guy we need to make our program, push our program over the top. And so the thought to me that Devin Cambridge got offered more money elsewhere, when everything we've heard is that our basketball players are basically very, very well taken care of.
Yeah.
The beauty of it is we don't know exactly how much they're taken care of this year, whereas 2 years ago we knew everything, and that made your stomach turn a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Heck, they may be making more money this year. We just don't know. I don't know.
Yeah, it might be an equal pay thing.
So I go back to what you said a minute ago, Choice, in that the exit interviews were done this week, and to me, and I'm disappointed to say this, it sounds more like whether it was Devin's decision or it was Coach McCaslin and the staff's decision, they felt like he would be better off, they would be better off if they parted ways. That's disappointing to me because I liked his style.
Yeah, I think you and I sat here a couple of weeks ago and we did a ranking of most important three players to keep. And you and I think, both had him at number two. I know I had him at number two.
Yeah, all three of us had him.
Was it all three?
Yeah,
all three. He was in the top three for all three.
Our one and two were the same with Darian Williams and then Devin Cambridge.
Okay, so yes. I'm not saying that Chris is wrong. I cannot easily draw the line like he did.
Yeah, I agree. Okay, I agree. It doesn't feel like the timing of it.
I don't know what is right. I really don't know.
So I'm paralleling basketball and baseball here, but the timing of Mason Molina, you had most of the portal entries 2 weeks before Mason Molina, and then his all of a sudden popped out of nowhere. This isn't that case. This is when everybody else is going in, so it doesn't scream of cash to me. And again, he may that might be the situation, but I'm with you. I didn't argue with Snead, but I didn't think it was as hard and fast as he made it.
Well, that's disappointing. I mean, what's the purpose of having Snead on the show if you're not going to argue with him?
Well.
I mean, he lives for that.
Not Snead. No one ever disagrees with that guy. How could you?
I loved his little
Skippy.
I loved his spat with Chuck today. That was funny.
He had a spat with Chuck?
Well, he was telling you about texting Chuck, and Chuck was texting back. You know, here's my analogy with Chris Snead and Chuck Hines.
Oh?
Okay. You know who they are? They are Red Sox fans and Yankee fans. And my point is,
I was thinking of Walter Matthau.
They hate each other so much because they're the same person.
Okay.
They are the same people.
Okay, yeah.
Chuck and Chris, the Yankees fans and Red Sox fans, they're the same people, and it drives them nuts.
I can see that.
Yeah.
I can get on board with
that. I thoroughly enjoyed his discussion of him and him being frustrated with Chuck this
morning. That's funny.
Mm-hmm.
So, as far as Portal goes, there's a lot of names out there. There's a lot that Texas Tech is going to have to replace at this point. You got, I think, 8 scholarship spots open, maybe 9. I think you're at 9 now. You have 4 players left. Emily Yalaho, Darian Williams, McMillan, and Walton. I think that's all you've got sitting around. So
that's crazy.
It is. And we were, before you were in here, we were going over who the heck's the last guy that started at Texas Tech and finished at Texas Tech in basketball. And I think it looks like, from quick research, Noren Sodiase is the last guy. That's a long time since you've had him playing in your program. You haven't had anybody else play 4 years at Texas Tech since then. So it is kind of sad that the days of yore where guys grow old with you are gone. Tell us what you think. We'll get some more of your thoughts on the Age Flooring Center chat line. It's the bottom line on 100.7 Score.
Bringing you the truth, or something like the truth. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Glad to be part of your hump day. You're listening to 107thescore and 107thescore.com. Choice Woodman, Jamie Lint here in the First United Bank studio. Jamie has our question of the day coming up in 15 minutes.
Can't wait!
You went Bart Scott on us. You're a big Jets fan. We all know that. So,
I've often said Jamie is the Bart Scott of the Raymar compound.
I can't stand the Jets.
Yeah, I knew
so
that. Like, Jets hatred.
I never had it growing up in New York, and I rooted for both of the other New York teams, the Bills, who, man, what a happy day today. Celebration times.
Glad to get rid of Stephon.
So excited to get rid of
Stephon.
Send
him to Houston. Diggs. Is there a problem?
And, man, I mean, the Houston Texans this past season were so much fun to watch and to root for and see what they did in the playoffs. And they have become so hateable now. They trade for Joe Mixon and then bring this guy to the mix?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Goodness. I mean, they're, to me, like, they're probably the team I'll root against the most now.
It's hard because CJ Stroud seems like a phenomenal guy.
Yeah,
like a great guy, and it's got his head on straight. But, yeah, he's getting surrounded by detestable characters, so.
Yeah, clearly the Texans aren't worried about surrounding him with good dudes. They want to surround him with
good players.
Well, story is interesting with Diggs because not only are you putting that with Stroud, but you've got a talented core of young receivers over there that you're also putting into the influential mix.
Well,
act like this guy. Let him lead your group.
Is that what you want for your second-year quarterback, that he's got to deal with a diva receiver now? Is that what the best thing for your second-year guy?
Yeah, that's a great point, Choice. That's a great point. Here's the thing. It was funny. I was reading the story on on Diggs, and they're listing off all the wide receivers that have been. Let's see if I can find these names, you know, that have done great things like Diggs. And it was all guys. Oh man. Okay, so here we go. It's like his acquisition in 2020 coincided with the rise of Allen's performance. Allen's second best. Oh, no, sorry, my bad. Rewind. He's one of four players in NFL history to record four consecutive seasons with 100-plus receptions, okay? Other three, Antonio Brown, Devontae Adams, Marvin Harrison. Antonio Brown, complete head case, complete diva.
Probably the
biggest of all time, right?
The dumbest guy we've seen.
I don't really have much to say about Devontae Adams, but Marvin Harrison basically paid his way out of a murder charge. And then they went on, and I'm a fan of his, by the way, okay, because he played for Syracuse, and then went on to say he's one of two receivers to be selected to the Pro Bowl in each of the past four seasons, along with Tyreek Hill. And so it's like,
hooray! What a group.
You're just like, wow, NFL wide receivers.
Great group of guys.
What a group.
Not to mention the head cases.
Fantastic individuals.
Like some of those guys make Terrell Owens and Chad Johnson look like Saints.
Yes.
Like, not New Orleans Saints, but you know. So,
I don't think Buffalo is going to – I think Buffalo is going to take a step back this year. I don't think there's any question. Stephon Diggs' production went down, I think partly because he was pouting. And I think he was definitely a cancer on that team. And I don't think anybody who pays any attention to the Bills would disagree with that. I still think he's a good receiver. He'll probably be very motivated and will probably have a great season with the Texans. I don't have any idea. But I don't think he's a great character. I hate, again, that I really enjoyed rooting for the Texans last year. Thought they were a fun story. But they signed Joe Mixon to a three-year deal, and then they bring this guy into the mix, and it just goes to show you, professional sports team care nothing, none, zippo about character. It is 100% about can you catch, run, tackle, win football games. That's all we care about.
Yep.
I wouldn't say I'm growing completely numb to it or okay with it, but I guess I'm like the Tyreek Hill and the Joe Mixon stuff. You just go down the roster, and I feel like you can find at least a player. Yes, even on your favorite team, go ahead and look at your up and down your entire roster, you will find a guy like that.
Yes, so, yes, but I'm not numb to it. Sure. Okay, I am not numb to it. You are right. There are sleazebags across every team, across the whole league. No question.
That's why Jamie can't play fantasy football, because he won't draft any of these
guys. But I hate it when they're on my team. I cannot stand it when those guys are on my team.
I think the hardest
one. I was so happy when Aroldis Chapman left the Yankees. Yeah. I'm so happy that Stephon Diggs is gone. It's like the Bills just won a playoff game today. That's how excited I am.
I think the hardest
one. And we know how rare
me.
It is when the Bills win a playoff game.
Hardest one for me personally, I think, was Greg Hardy. I don't know why.
Oh, my gosh.
That one. Whew. Terrible human being, yeah. Never had any remorse, just bad dude for the Cowboys when he
terrible
came over.
Dude.
Didn't like that. Aroldis Chapman didn't like that. But, again, I'm not numb to it. I guess I just try to sweep it under the rug in my brain, just because, especially when they're on my team. Because
not completely numb to it, but it's just we're seeing this every single year where this is what the league is.
Yeah. You know? Clint had no – I mean, I'm not trying to criticize you, okay, but Tyreek Hill was a major part of your team.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had to become numb to it or you weren't rooting for your favorite team, okay?
Yeah.
And so let's say, for example, if it was – not that I'm die-hard Buffalo Bills fan, but that's my team, okay?
Yeah.
If Josh Allen was a terrible individual, it would be hard for me to still root for the Bills and dislike Josh Allen because he kind of really is important, right? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's almost impossible for him to play poorly and do bad and your team to win. Same thing with Tyreek Hill. You almost had to be numb to it because the Chiefs, he was so valuable and such a good player for the Chiefs. It was hard to just
Right, yeah. And on one hand, like, you can believe me or not, because on one hand, there was the sigh of relief watching him go to Miami.
Yeah, I believe that there are a lot of Chiefs fans also, felt that way.
Yeah, and then also be like, well, it's not like you would have done what you did without him. Like, you have to recognize that. And if you felt that strongly about – here's the issue, and this is what my big view on it. Here's the issue with it, is if you had this big problem with, you know, insert player here, Tyreek Hill, enough that you're like, I can't be a fan of the Chiefs. And you say, you know what? I'm going to be a fan of the Seahawks. If the Seahawks had a chance to sign Tyreek Hill, they would sign Tyreek Hill.
Yes. Yes, no doubt. No doubt. We get the same thing right here in town, right? How many Red Raider fans were just like, hey, whatever happened in the Bahamas, that's not technically illegal. All good. Nothing to see here. Nothing wrong with any of that. It's not. They can't press charges, so he didn't do anything wrong. I mean, so many people did that, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's not the first time. Nigel Bethel situation. Who was that? Amber Battle? Is that? Remember that one?
Yeah, yes. And I don't even know who's in the right or wrong.
Oh,
there.
I know.
Seems like there were bad characters all around.
Both in the wrong, for sure. You've had other situations. Jet Duffy. There's plenty of them to point to. But
some you knew about at the time and some that you didn't.
Yeah. But you have to kind of numb yourself to some of it. Not condoning. I think there's a difference between numbing yourself as a sports fan and condoning something. I think there's a big difference there. Like,
yes,
if you're actively rooting for tons of success for that one individual, it's a little different than rooting for overall success for your team.
Yeah, and I would tell you that some of it has, not completely by any stretch, but it has lessened me as a sports fan.
Swear.
Yeah.
Can't seem to blame you. Big Ben in Pittsburgh, beloved.
Now make Jamie talk about the transfer portal. He'll love it.
Yeah, Big Ben's a great example.
Beloved,
but
kind of a bad guy.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's kind of or
yeah,
is
it seemed
or
like
what.
It seemed like just flat-out bad
probably
guy.
Throw bad out there. I don't know. Yeah.
But, man, could he evade pressure.
But the thing about it is, and there's not many athletes that I think that any of us can say anything about, is that nothing surprises us anymore, right?
No. No.
Like, is there an athlete out there that you're like, that guy will never do anything wrong, right? I mean, anything wrong. That guy will never do. I mean,
I don't know. I'd be pretty surprised if Josh Young got.
I was just
any
about
trouble.
To say we know him a little bit, but there's
probably a grouping of 10% of athletes out there that you really feel like, okay, these are stand-up dudes. Jason Witten's of the world, Tony Bradford.
I'd have to know him a little bit less. I mean, excuse me. I'd have to know him a little bit more before I was confident in 10%. But I bet it, the number is like 50%.
No, yeah, I'm saying that 10% is
that
what
you would
we
say
point
you
to.
Know.
Yeah,
right.
I'm saying like a tenth of the guys. That's not very many that you'd point to and say. But yeah, there's a whole group of them that you know you have no idea. Everybody's dirty laundry seems to be aired now, and it's probably for the better. All right, get your thoughts. Keep them coming in on the A's Flying Center chat line. Jamie has a question of the day next on 100.7 The Score.
Getting to the point, but taking the scenic route to get there. This is the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score.
Choice Woodman, Jamie Linton here in the First United Bank Studio. You're listening to The Bottom Line on 100.7 The Score and 107thescore.com. I'm looking at my Bugles bag over here. It's distracting me. In or out on the Bugles?
Out.
Out? Wow.
I'm in.
I think they're a highly underrated snack.
Man, 2 days in a row. I agree with Choice. What is wrong?
Quit sounding so disappointed. And that's not 2 days. That was maybe, technically Monday. We
two days we've been together.
Yeah.
Dude, yeah, Bugles right out of the pool with a can of soda, can of pop, if you will.
Okay, now I'm
specifically
out on
a root beer. That's
I
a great after pool snack.
I remember you mentioning that once, that you would always get them
the
pool snack.
Greensburg pool, man, the city pool. They had Bugles pools on hand all the time.
Kansas. Greensburg had a pool? How many people did you have?
Well, I'm not
town?
From Greensburg. That was the town over.
Oh, that was nice.
We had the bus over there.
Did y'all have a stoplight?
I feel like you know the answer to this.
I don't remember the
it's
answer.
No.
Y'all didn't have a single stoplight.
No.
Uh-uh. My hometown had one.
That's big time.
Well, you were from New York, as Choice would say.
Forget about it.
New York.
I'm stopping here.
Somebody told me the other day they thought that I'm starting to get a Texas draw.
I've heard. I'm not kidding. I heard you say something on the tech broadcast the other day. I'm like, Jamie, good on you. Now just say y'all. It'll be good. All right.
I think it's because I'm. You think you know how you hang around certain people and you.
It's Tadlock. It's
start
exactly
swearing
that.
Like them or something.
Oh, it's
think I've been hanging around
Tadlock
too much.
I mean, he's got as. Texan of a draw, West Texan of a draw, as you're ever going to hear.
Maybe he could coach me up.
I think he could coach you on a lot of things. Baseball, speaking, how to eat better.
I already have, you know, Tadlock and
fishing. I bet he could coach you pretty well in fishing.
Yes.
I'd be a little offended if you went to him instead of me, I'll be honest.
On the fishing thing?
I would be offended.
I guarantee you, Jamie, if he's going fishing with someone on purpose, it's Tadlock over Clint.
I want to go back.
I'm just kidding.
less talking.
I want to go back to Clint's
hey,
point about at the pool, fresh out of the pool, you go get Bugles, and
root
a Coke,
beer.
Whatever. Mm-hmm. I think if I was a public pool guy, like I think the place that I would
eat. PPG? Yeah.
Yeah. I think the place that I would eat snacks the least would be at the public pool.
I think that's very fair.
Because I would be like super conscious that looking around and seeing everybody that's skinny, and I'd be like, oh man, I'm not as skinny.
Oh,
as
I
that.
Thought I had to more.
Well,
to do
okay,
with the
but if
somebody
if,
like my conscience would be telling me, don't eat, man, don't you need to lose weight. You should not be eating.
If your body is on your mind, it's not like someone's going to look at you eating a snack. Like, oh, I never noticed those rolls before you were eating those Bugles. That is news to me. After you've been flopping around.
Oh, I think it accentuates
it.
I think there is a. Oh my gosh, look at him chowing down and.
What gave it away? His 10th Twix or his yelling cannonball every time and emptying out half the water of the pool? What was it?
Yeah, skinny people never yell cannonball.
No. Or
actually.
Or, why can't I think of the body flop?
Time out real quick. 10th Twix, is that 10 different packages or 5?
Belly flop, yeah.
10th Twix, is that 10 different packages or 5? Packages.
I call a Twix the single stick, so okay. I guess 5 packs.
All right, just need to clarify that. All right, let's get to Jamie's question.
Time now for Jamie's question of the day.
Okay, so this one I think is a really hard question.
Okay.
I need you two to be honest.
We can
this
try.
This is hard. Do you think the 2024/2025 Red Raider basketball team will be better, finish better in the conference than the 2023-24 Red Raider basketball team?
I think it was important that you said better in the conference because I think there's a probably just as good a chance that you win a game in the NCAA tournament next year, and we judge off of that.
Yeah,
but so if you're going conference finish,
yeah,
you got two more teams in the conference next year, too. Right, 16. To say that you're going to be better than a tie for third place, I think I'm going to take the odds and say no. Odds say that you won't be. And without knowing right now, you've got 75% of your roster missing or that you're going to replace. I reserve the right to change my answer if I see that you're grabbing a bunch of 4 and 5 stars here in the next few weeks. But, yeah, I wouldn't. As you sit right now, knowing that you've got Darian Williams, Emily Alajo, Chance McMillan, and Kerwin Walton as your remaining players, and don't know anything else about this team except that Grant McCaslin can coach, I would predict a worse than third place finish in the Big 12. Or even say worse than fourth.
Yeah, because you were also tied for fourth.
Tied for fourth?
You were tied for third and fourth. There's two of you.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, but you say you're tied for
you
the higher.
I know. You don't say you're tied. So, but you finished with a 4 seed. So yeah. even so, yeah, worse than fourth place.
You tied for the third seed. You salvaged the fourth spot.
Oh, boy.
Good usage, Clint.
Thank you.
That's going to go on forever now.
Yes. I'm going worse off. I think it's not just that you're adding, you know, you'll have two extra teams than what you had this year. I think two of the four that I'm looking at, one, you know, Arizona's going to come in and be competitive. I think Colorado's a wild card. We'll see what they are. They made the tournament this year.
Sure.
Competitive. I don't think Utah and Arizona State will be slouches. I think the other thing, too, is you saw very competitive basketball from, and I'm going to say Houston here, but we knew about Houston, competitive basketball from BYU. But then even more surprising, you saw competitive Big 12 basketball out of Cincinnati and UCF. Okay, well, now they have their footing in the league. Are they better next year? And then, you know, does Kansas pick back up? Things like that. Does Kansas State have a better year? I think there's too many wild cards in the league right now. Because I expect it to be just as competitive next year in the Big 12, if not more so, to go, yes, third in the league for sure. Mark it down.
Mm-hmm. Here's what's hard for me is that heading into the season, I felt like – I know that we added Joe Toussaint really late, which I think was a great late addition for the Red Raiders.
Yeah.
But heading into the season, I just – man – I felt like if you were anywhere close to 500 in the league, if you were, you know, top 7 in the conference heading into the conference tournament, that it was going to be, you know, that was going to be kind of where you were truly should be. And I just think that Grant McCaslin did such a great job putting a roster together that we really, I personally didn't expect as much out of as he got out of it. That being said, we would have liked him to recruit more bigs, but I felt like the late start hurt in that whole deal. So I just the hard part for me is because we're sitting here today going, yeah, roster in disarray. You don't know what you really have. You're gonna have to bring in 75% of your roster. He did such a great job doing that last year that I don't want to say there's no chance that he can do it again next year, right? Or
yeah,
to feel like to not show the respect of, well, you did it once, why can't you do it a second time?
Exactly.
So that's giving me hope that you can be back to where you were. And I also like, hey, it's second year with the system. You know, the coaches, they're not it's going to be easier to recruit to this program now that he's been here for a year, and all of those things factor into me. So I think I lean with you guys in saying you'll finish below or worse than fourth in the conference. But I'm just, I don't know, I'm holding out hope and belief that he can do just as amazing of a job next year as he did this year. And that's the norm, not a one-off.
Grant McCaslin has won everywhere he's been to this point in his career. So I don't, when I say I don't expect it to be as good, I still expect to be around a top five Big 12 team, around there. Still expect to be a tournament team next year. I just don't have a clue what this team looks like, so it'd be somewhat blind faith going into next year. Maybe that's all we need.
This has been the Bottom Line Podcast from 100.7 The Score. Go to 100-7thescore.com for more from the Double T Sports Network.